You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 308 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week we have an interesting topic because, well, we have the holidays coming up, and I know I'm probably going to be tech support for my friends, my family, and my older parents, aunts, and uncles. And it always comes up, right? Which is, you should never write down your passwords. Because this can be kind of controversial. Can it, guys?
Absolutely.
No, not at all.
Oh.
I want to say, though, you said we have an interesting topic today, as if
we do.
We never, ever else have an interesting topic.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
for a change, now we have an interesting topic.
Okay. This podcast does have every week, I would say, interesting topics.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like,
you
man,
are listening to the show.
That's why I listen to the show. And so, yes, I meant what I said when I said I don't think it's a controversial topic. And the reason I don't think it's a controversial topic is this is one of those topics that in my head is faux controversy. This is often an argument from people who don't either pay attention or think through context, right? Because I agree with the statement, don't write down passwords, okay? But I'll also say that using a password manager really is writing down passwords. But I know what you mean, is you're talking about like in a book or something like that. And this goes to so many of the conversations about what is the context of the control, right? And I'll look at and I'll consider, you know, the elderly people I know, and I feel old most days, but I'm happy to say I don't consider myself elderly. But
you're almost there.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I'm sure I'm going to start getting the AARP letters in the mail.
Yeah,
I'm way older than both of you guys.
Yeah, maybe you are elderly, Scott. I don't know what
I get number? Discounts. I get discounts at the drugstore.
Yes, yes. That just means you're senior, not elderly. They're senior discounts. Yes. I'm always curious what the number is for elderly. But here's the thing. There's two realities that we have to think about. One, capability of doing something. And I don't mean that elderly people are dumb and they can't remember passwords. I mean it from a perspective of this, at least for now, the people who we consider elderly using computers are relatively new to most of them or many of them when you compare it to their life, right? And so, yes, there's lots of elderly people that were very technical and still are very technical or whatever. On one hand, you have people who this is not a normal task, right?
Yeah.
Two, you have to take into account any cognitive problems and mental dation or whatever the right term is. I don't know. I'm an idiot right? But there's the aspect of getting confused. I've seen it. I've worked with elderly people that are using a computer and there's just so much that's happening on the screen at one time. They're having trouble seeing the screen. They're having whatever, right? You know, there's all this kind of stuff. And so the question is the same question that every security person should ask themselves about every security decision. What does this improve security, and does it improve security without ruining the user experience? If I say to somebody who is already having issues just using the technology, now I want to make your use of the technology ridiculously complex for you, or add this extra, even if it's not ridiculous, just these extra layers of complexity, right? That's the first reason I think it's important to say, okay, let's let people write these down at a certain level. And let me qualify that in a second. The second reason is, there has to be at least one copy of the master password from the password safe or whatever, because at some point, a third party, whether it's a relative and, you know, whatever, is going to have to get into those systems to work things out, right?
Yes.
And I remember when my grandfather died and he had run the household. My grandmother had no concept of how to talk to the power company. And I don't mean like talking to them. I mean, like, she didn't know their account number. She didn't have to. And I remember, this was when I was a kid. And I remember that, you know, for a few things, they had to wait for the bill to come into the mail to get the account number so that they could call. Because at the time, like, the power company was like, no, you can't just tell us, you know, so, right? There wasn't a good, now I didn't live in a huge town and everything else like that. So that probably added to it. But
yeah,
I lived in a town big enough that we weren't a small town, but small mm-hmm. enough that.
Yeah.
Right.
So. I think it's something that we should highlight what Kevin said there about destroying the user experience, right? You can think of destroying the user experience as being, well, it becomes a bad user experience. No, when you're dealing with seniors, if you destroy the user experience, you're basically not able to do that process anymore, right?
And they won't.
And they won't, because there is too much information overload. The reason it might be contentious is people who have not actually sat down with a senior and walked them through the process of registering for a website, you know, to create a password. It's overwhelming.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
And
it is.
And bluntly, let's forget security for a second. That's a usability issue that needs to be addressed, right? And, you know, we have people rolling out applications and moving features and changing stuff. You know, I was sitting at the house last night. This happened last night. We're sitting at the house last night, and my wife turned on the TV, and we have a Roku, and she was watching something, and then I got home, and she turned it off, right? And when she turned it off, she like exited the thing, so she went to the main screen, what have you. And I sat down, we were talking a little bit, and then she turned it back on to show me something. And she went, you know, the Roku interface, and she went to the system, and then she went into the app to show me the video, and then she bounced back to the home screen. And I guess when she bounced back to the home screen, the Roku refreshed its interface, and the interface changed minorly. Like, it was a minor change. It had like a new, like, oh, here's some things we recommend or something like that. I don't remember what it was. And my wife, who we always laugh that she hates computers and she runs a security consulting firm. And she is not an elderly person. She is not unfamiliar with technology. And it threw her off for a good 30 seconds because it was this instinct, like something's different. Something's wrong. What did I do? And that thinking through the impact of the user experience.
Yeah.
Most companies don't do that well.
For some people, that change, that minor change in the user interface isn't a 30-second delay.
No.
It's like,
no,
I'm out.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly because that, like, Denise, who is competent and capable and able to handle technologies and do all this stuff, was thrown off for 30 seconds. I can't imagine somebody who is already struggling, right? It's that old joke that everybody talks about, like, you know, going over and showing grandma which remote to use because they've turned off the sound or something like that or whatever. And it, you know, ignoring the joke, it is. And I want to be very clear, because I years ago, I was at a conference and somebody did a talk, and I made a comment after the talk that I really enjoyed so-and-so's talk. And the person I made the comment to went off on it because the person was like, I guess the person said, you know, you need to design security so that your mom and your grandma can handle it. And the person was like, you know, I know lots of moms and grandmas who are very technical. I want to be very clear, because we're using the elderly as an example. There's lots of people. But the reality is, when we talk about people 70 years old, 80 years old, technology is an extra in many cases.
Oh, totally.
Right.
And it's so foreign. Yeah.
Not all cases.
Not all cases. There's always exceptions, but
many.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
I'm glad you brought up the point about when someone passes away,
yes.
Right? An elderly person passes away. What is that plan to, you know, from the immediate family to gain access to those passwords, especially for, you know, sensitive things that maybe you've talked about or agreed with your mom or your dad or what have you. And I don't think a lot of people talk about that.
My understanding, I talked to my wife and I generated a will years ago, you know, and when we were talking to the attorney was like, because we were dealing with it, because we were dealing with some of her dad, and the attorney was like, you know, it's good on you guys to do this because so few people have these conversations. So few people say what happens, right? And you know, I give you a dumb example, right? Mm-hmm. Denise and I were talking at one point and I said, yeah, don't buy a casket and bury me. That's a waste of money. Just cremate me and throw me in the yard or something. I don't know, right? I don't know, like whatever.
Okay.
Right? Like, yeah. Throw me out back. It's fine. And Denise was like, don't do that to me. Right. And that's such a basic question that bluntly, the only reason we brought it up was we were joking around about something we had seen. It wasn't even a, hey, let's discuss this and have a serious conversation. It was, and people don't talk about things. Yeah. Okay. What do you do with that? All your accounts. Who has access? Right. How many of your photo albums are only digital?
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
And I think I just posted something in the chat that we might be able to put in the show notes. I think there's a concept of digital legacy, which is basically all of the things that you know, and when you die, who gets control over them or how do they access them, right? And I just posted there's an Apple, basically digital-legacy.apple.com. And it's the information for how you go through that process of handing over. Yeah. But I think, you know, from a tips point of view, every business that does business to consumer kind of services online should have a policy around, and they should publish it. You know, how do you allow relatives to hand over that stuff or obtain that stuff?
And your staff needs to know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's one thing to say, oh, produce a death certificate and let us know and then validate your you. Okay, well, how? Right? But jumping all the way back, because I don't think you've actually said it. Let me be very blunt. In my opinion, we should not harp on don't write passwords down in this situation. What we should do is instead discuss what controls we place around how we write them.
Yeah. Compensating control.
Right? I like that.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, you said earlier, you know, a book. Here's a little notebook and it's in the fire safe. That's probably a bad idea because there should be a copy in the fire safe, but they're having to be able to get in and out of it is why it's a bad idea. That's what I'm saying is,
you know,
don't leave it on your desk, right? Don't use the same password. Let's talk through the ways that you can record this stuff.
This reminds me of, you know, how we've talked about the old password books that you can buy in the bookstore and here's where you write all your passwords. I was just thinking, and this is just an idea for any entrepreneurs out there. What if you, and maybe this exists, have a fingerprint or a biometric opening physical book, you know, that has some kind of hardcover with a lock on it, you know, just like your old lockable diaries,
I've
right?
I've seen one.
I
somewhere.
Think I've seen that. I think I want to say yes, that exists, but now I'm not sure.
I think it was on Twitter, and like everybody in the security community was laughing at it, but it
works
honestly
for a certain level,
it
right?
It kind of does
and
work.
Yeah. That's the key point is what is the context we're using it in? If your CEO has a fingerprint notebook on his desk or her desk with passwords in it, that's bad. If your head of IT has a composition book that right, you know, or a Velcro wallet that they're storing passwords in, that's bad.
Yes.
Your, you know, 92-year-old captain of the Enterprise, because my understanding is Kirk is 92. I'm kind of okay with Shatner writing down passwords in a secure fashion. Yeah. And right. And let me be clear, everything I've seen from, you know, Captain Kirk, he seems pretty on the ball. But yeah, context is important. And I think context is so often lacking in our field.
Yeah, completely agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. And from a risk management point of view, risk, you can never really assess risk without the context, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that, I want to wish everybody good luck with the holidays.
Yeah.
May your conversations go well with your
yes, yes.
Your and let us know. Let us know any interesting, you know, anonymized, interesting stories.
Yeah. If anybody has their own kind of stories, you know, struggling with passwords and writing down passwords and elderly family.
Or a recommendation we haven't thought of. I mean, like I will not claim that the three of us are able to generate every option for the elderly. I'd like to hear some other options.
Yeah. Leave a comment if you're watching us on YouTube. Please leave a comment on the channel. And if you're listening to the audio, send us an email, feedback@sharedsecurity.net, or you can also comment on sharedsecurity.net on the actual post itself for this episode where the show notes are. So awesome. Well, I wish both of you happy holidays coming up.
Same. Yeah. We just celebrated the last night of Hanukkah last night. Because my oldest converted to Judaism, and then we're prepping for Christmas. So it's a weird dichotomy between
the two. Yeah. It's kind of like a whole month of holiday for you.
Oh, yeah.
So exciting. All right.
Thank you.
Well, for everybody else, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to all of you again next week. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.